that sometimes God, and this is from 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4, 3, 2, something like that. Oh, I'll find it real quick. Ah, yes, chapter 1, actually. No. 2. It's got to be 2. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see this principle that God hides wisdom from people. That, because if they knew the facts, if they knew the wisdom that was hidden, which goes beyond facts, but what to do with the facts, they would not have crucified Christ. You understand that those men, having been given, if they had been given a full revelation of what they were really, of the hidden wisdom, so to speak, what was really going on in their times, they would never have done what they did. In order for Christ to be crucified, God had to hide wisdom from the men who were in charge. Because if they were fully informed, they couldn't do the things that they did. And many things is like that. If people really knew, they would not perform the things that they are going to perform, that God has ordained that they should perform. Why? A lot of times, not because they love God necessarily, but because of self-preservation. There's this, you think, well, I'm not going to go along with his plan. I'm going to save my own skin. I'm not going to crucify Jesus. Forget that. And not that they could be received of God into eternal life, but they would do it to spite him, or just for their own reasons, to save their own skin. We're all prisoners one way or the other. Really, we are. Either to our own lusts, to sin and so on and so forth, or even to the, you're almost a prisoner to just who you are. I can't just up and be someone else. I remember trying to do that. I remember when I was a kid in school, every, spring would come along, and I was a real geek, as you can imagine, and certainly in my earlier years, and later on, I was an even bigger geek, because I actually thought I was cool. But, every year I came to school thinking, I'm going to be different this time. The way I already was different. God only knows. But I meant different in a way that was like, that girls are going to be attracted to me. As if I could just do something. Or if I could just suddenly make myself outgoing. But you know what? Sometimes people do change. But you gotta understand, that's part of their nature. Part of their nature is to change. If our nature makes it impossible for us to change, we cannot be saved without a miracle from God. There are plenty of things in man's nature that are changeable. Man's ways are changeable. And it's all written into our destinies. I mean, it's a very complicated affair, but still, God is extremely powerful. Remember, I want to remind you what we've already, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and also over the entire world. Back to this subject here. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation, etc., what the dispensation of the fullness of God, of the grace of God. I talked about dispensation. The word dispensation means stewardship. It's the word oikonomia. It comes from the nomia, nomos, and they talk about anomianism. Nomo is the Greek word for law. But in constructions of language, it doesn't mean literally like oiko is house law. But those are the ideas that it's coming from. So we don't always read too much, because, Eh. I'm going to have to come up with some good examples of that in English. And I know there are. You know, where you see a root word, and it's like, well, that looks just like, you know, but in a, when you, sometimes when you combine them together, roots and suffixes and prefixes, they don't always keep the exact same meaning they had without the suffixes. And they come to mean something slightly different. But even so, all I'm trying to say with that, I'm just trying to be instructive in careful the way you use concordances, especially if you start bringing in meanings beyond the simplicity of what's there in the text and of what the generally accepted understanding of what the word means. It means stewardship or administration. You know what I mean? A dispensation, you know, like dispenser, right? We have a Dixie cup dispenser, right? It hands things out. I think they also it's called sometimes the house distributorship. One who is, and what he's saying, he's not saying, you know, the dispensation of grace occurs over time, no doubt. Okay, but it doesn't refer directly to, dispensation means a period of time. No, it means an action. See, dispensation is the dispensation has a dispenser, and the dispenser is the Apostle Paul, and he is dispensing the knowledge of this grace that God is providing, okay? And it's given to him towards us, towards the Gentiles. That's what it means. He is the one who is to dispense the dispensation. You know, he is the one who is the steward of that which is to be handed out, the grace. And all the information concerning that dispensation is involved with the things that Paul had to say. All right? But it's not about a system of theology whereby we bring in all kinds of false doctrines, like dispensationalism, where they turn just a simple thing into a whole mess of garbage that they pile on the word. You know, someone wrote me a recent email, and they were talking about interpretations and tailoring. And I think he said something like, well, your view is kind of tailored to your interpretation. I thought, well, that's kind of the same. I don't understand what that means exactly. But I kind of know what he's getting at.